live from Austin, Texas. The time is 6:08, coming up on 6:09 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at koop.org. I can take my time with this one. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hotta, and this is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's show, the phone number is 472-566-7472-KOOP. Nationwide, get ready, 888-917-5667. Or I could just tell you that the Austin number is area code 512. Because we are in a different age, and we have grown past the point of toll-free phone calls. I should hope, unless you have a very lousy phone plan. In which case, I apologize for being so crass. I understand you're going through a lot right now. Times are tough. Obama has done it to us all. But seriously, let's switch up that phone plan for nationwide calling. We just heard The Zombies from their Odyssey and Oracle album, one of the essential albums, a desert island disc, some would say. I would be one of them, other people. That was the opening cut, Care of Self 44. Great album. Really great. Time of the season. This will be our year. A Rose for Emily and others, which I will list if I run out of things to talk about. And starting us off, the faces from the amazing box set, Five Guys Walk Into a Bar. That was Borstal Boys, Borstal Blues. Let's consult the thing I wrote. Borstal Boys. Yeah, that was a little, that was a mini theme set right there. And if you can figure out the theme, congratulations! Call in and tell me and prove how smart you are. But ultimately, I don't care. Because I put it together. I put the whole set together, and you don't have to impress me. I get it. Oh, as you may notice, Mac Blake is on assignment. He will be back next week. Next week. I have not talked with him about it because next week is the weekend after Thanksgiving. And everybody's kind of all over the place. But hopefully he'll be back. He's just wrapping up. He's tending to some business this week. We wish him all the best. We miss him terribly. Thank you very much. Last week to Joe Parsons, who filled in admirably in Mac's absence. Had a very good time with him. And thank you very much to nobody for filling in today. It is a solo show for the next 48 minutes. David, how did you know it was 48 minutes? Because I am watching that clock like a hawk. Speaking of thanking nobody, I would like to thank absolutely no one for helping me out last week with the my query about a Little League team. I got zero people responded, got zero information. Thank you, one and all. KOP, you're on the air.
Are you giving away Fuzz Club tickets?
Absolutely. Why would you even think that?
Because it was 60s what I just heard when I turned on the radio.
Hold on. Let me stay on the line. Who are we talking to right now? I can wait. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm going to the Fuzz Club anyway. So.
Oh, well then, I was gonna go digging around and see if we had any tickets to give away.
Okay.
But
I don't know. I just heard The Zombies, and you said, you know. So anyway.
So wait a second. So based off of one song.
Yeah. Well, I was just gonna give it a shot.
Okay. Do you know what the other song was that I played?
No.
Then? Okay. If I tell you, will you take another stab at it? Well, you've already taken a stab at it. And really, just come up empty. So, you're not going to, if I may be coarse, you're not going to sully your reputation by taking another whiff at it.
All right.
So, we just heard The Zombies with Care of Self 44 off their Odyssey and Oracle album.
To myself now. It's kind of weird.
Okay. Well. Okay. But then before that, we heard The Faces with Borstal Boys.
Okay.
Go ahead. Start the clock.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm just a little distracted. So,
well, turn your radio down. This isn't your first time, really. It's not.
It is my first time.
Well, that would explain why you haven't given your name yet, because I asked you for your name, and I'm trying to be friendly.
All right. Well, nice chatting with you.
Oh, well,
bye.
Well, okay. Now I feel like I lost a potential co-host for the show. I don't like it. I'm in a bad way today. I've been in a bad way for the past 2 weeks. I still haven't gotten right. I've been sort of out of sorts ever since Fun Fest, which was, yes, 2 weeks ago. Didn't get to talk about it last week, but thanks to everybody who said hi. Had some people actually recognize us, and everybody who came out. Although I wouldn't know why I was saying thanks to everybody who came out, because that would be something I'm not allowed to talk about on the radio. But yeah, Fun Fest was just that, what I experienced of it, because I didn't get to experience a lot of it. Why? A, I was busy with stuff, and B, I went Saturday, missed Friday, even though I bought tickets for Weird Al Yankovic and Todd Barry. I was so looking forward to it. I was so looking forward to what I heard was one of the greatest shows in the history of shows that Weird Al put on. But I did not get to go. I was busy that day, but Saturday I went for all of about a little bit, if we can use that as a measurement of time, a little bit. I saw the Gorries, which was awesome. I wanted more, though. Because Mick Collins, he's great. He's always been great. The Gorries, the Screws, the Dirt Bombs, especially the Dirt Bombs. And then he comes out with the Gorries in a 5:30 afternoon set. Kind of, I wanted more. I know that that dial goes up to 11. Why was it on 9 3/4, Mick Collins? You're better than that. Then I had to go do some stuff. And then I saw Bad Religion. And that was awesome. It was an unexpected surprise because I was all set to go. I didn't know the schedule. That's how rich I am. I'll just buy tickets for stuff and just say, I imagine it's going to be entertaining. pardon me, see? So I was all ready to go see MGMT, which was sort of the being touted as the closer for Saturday night. And I like them fine. I do. I truly do. But I just wasn't in the mood for that. But then I hear, Bad Religion's on the next stage. Why am I not there? Because MGMT, really, fun stuff, good stuff. But Bad Religion was my high school. And by golly, I can't wait to relive that. So I went and saw Bad Religion. Great. Really, really great. Only problem was I didn't prepare accordingly for festival life. And I got very, very sick with the allergies and whatnot because it was a dust bowl. And it was also an ashtray at the same time. And I, as you may know, I am a gentle soul, both soul-wise and physically-wise. So I'm very fragile when it comes to allergies. And I still haven't been right. If you have some sort of Bose radio that can hear very well, you can hear me wheezing still. I am very short of breath. But long on sleep this week, which is also nice but alarming, because I've been getting a lot of sleep and it still doesn't feel like it's taking. Past couple months, let's even say, haven't been getting very much sleep. So now that some paths have cleared, I'm getting some more sleep. But I feel like my body's getting greedy and it's just taking sleep now. Like when I want to be up for stuff, like I want to be up to eat ice cream and watch movies, but my body is saying, no, shut it down. You tricked us before, promising us sleep and never gave it to us. We're taking it now. Like my body is kind of, it's being very aggressive. It's being very Daniel Plainview on me, the owner of said body, and I don't like it. I haven't really had a chance to do nothing all week, and I miss doing nothing. Like people don't understand how great it is to do nothing. Oh, hold on. Got a phone call! Hello? KOP, you're on the air. Hello? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put everybody through that. But I am going to put everybody through this story about me doing nothing. Yes, I just want to do nothing. I haven't just sat around. Because I have friends who don't understand that that is something I will fill into my calendar. I will set aside hours and days to just do nothing. Like, I'll have friends call me up and say, hey, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, I'm not doing a thing. I'm like, oh, you want to do something? I was like, no, you don't understand. I'm not doing a thing. So you don't want to hang out? No. I don't. I want to stay home, stare into the middle distance, maybe, watch a basketball game, maybe, sleep likely, eat definitely. But all I knows is it's not going to involve anybody else. And people get mad at that. I can't help it. If I am some sort of pop icon who you must spend all of your time with, I got to recharge. And I haven't been recharging, or I'm doing something wrong. I don't know what's going on. That was a fun noise to do in the microphone. Speaking of going out and having fun with friends, I did that last night. I went to see Louis C.K. at the Paramount, which was incredible. There is a man who is at the top of his game. He is one of the best stand-ups in the country, if not the world, if not the universe. I have not been to other places with stand-ups, so I couldn't say for certain. Don't make a liar of me. But so I went out, saw with my friends, my associate and cohort, Mac Blake, who is normally on the Mascot Wedding Show Saturday 6 to 7, and some other friends of ours, some friends of the show, Jimena and Andrew Rosas, who you have been on the show before, very good friends of the show, and part of the Mascot Wedding family, part of the Mascot Wedding brand of entertainers. But, the show goes from like 8 to 10. And then after that, there's some talk of going out and having fun and drinking. But as I mentioned earlier, I've been tired for a very long time. So I just decided to bid them farewell and head on home. But because I got one hell of a story out of it. So what happened was this. We're downtown at the Paramount. I'm going to hop a bus home. You know, I decided not to take a cab, decided not to pick up a car to go. Take the bus, because the bus is just fine. It takes me doorstop to doorstop. Doorstop? Whatever. I can get home in about a half hour, if I take the bus. So I catch a bus, I'm headed home. I'm headed up 30th and Guadalupe, and I see a drugstore. And I say, you know what sounds good right now? A movie, which I have at home, and a soda and a candy bar. I think now is the time to get that. So I get off the bus and go into the drugstore, grab myself a little candy bar and a soda. A fun night of loneliness. So I step out of the drugstore, go to the bus stop, waiting for another bus to come. And I planned ahead, lest you think I did not. I planned ahead and brought my music player, my portable MP3 music player that I am listening to in hopes that people will know that I'm listening to music. Leave me alone. And this works. Here's the fatal flaw in this idea, because Mac and I have talked about this on the show before. The go to hell costume. You know, it's the headphones and the sunglasses. This works in normal society. But what happens when you enter bus society is that you're dealing with an entirely different level of people. People who don't care about such things as earbuds or decorum or not being racist. And I bring that up because, a gentleman walked up to me with I had my headphones in, interrupting my story.
Yours is probably better.
KOP, you're on the air.
Oh, I don't want to be on the air.
Well, too late. What's your name, caller?
Jimbo.
Hey, Jimbo, what's going on?
Oh, nothing. I just want to say, although I appreciate every micro detail of your life, I didn't know you were a pop icon, so I will cut you some slack just for that fact.
It's very true. I'm like Austin's Madonna.
Okay, well, that's cool, because if you were just like an ordinary no one like myself, your everyday details would just bore me to tears. But now, in light of the fact that you're a pop icon, I will be more entertained.
Please, that's all I ask for is a wide berth, because I'm doing stuff here that you're going to wish you got years from now.
That's true. But I would like to hear some music eventually.
Oh, sure, yeah. We've got the Clear Spot coming up at 7, and then we've got Stronger Than Dirt coming up at 8. Hot Rock.
I mean, like, and how about in the nearer future, like within the next like 5-10 minutes?
No, I'm just going to push through. I've got this story and then I've got three more.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, that's cool. It's your show and that's why you do what you do.
It sure is.
Well, rock on in the free world.
Always do. Thank you very much, Jimbo.
Bye-bye.
What a pleasant fellow. I feel like we got along well. Anyway, let me get back to the story. He's right. I am kind of dragging on a little bit. But yeah, so this guy comes up to the bus stop, and he asked me where the bus is headed. I tell him that sort of thing. That's the end of the conversation. Yes? Yes. No. So then he starts in with like, so I was at the 7-Eleven down the road. You know, I was picking up some girly magazines. You know how it is. And first of all, of course I know how it is. Okay? The insatiable lust for printed pornography is a universal feeling across everywhere. So of course I know what he's talking about. So this is the beginning to his story. We are two sentences in, and we've already covered that he was just at the 7-Eleven buying girly books. And from that, he says, so I'm looking at the girly books, and I'm chatting it up with the guy behind the counter because I can't read so good because I just had a surgery, and I'm asking him which girly books are good. Now stop right there. So I don't understand what kind of surgery it is out there in the medical world that A, makes you read not so good, but also makes you not read so good pictures of girls that you've seen your whole life. I don't understand what this guy is saying. Let's power through. So he's telling me the story about how he's chatting up the guy behind the counter at the 7-Eleven. And, of course, he mentions that the guy behind the counter is Iranian, which not a detail I need. But he tells me that the guy behind the counter is going to call the cops, which he just skipped over to that. I don't know what this guy did, but because this guy clearly did something to warrant. Well, thanks, scumbag. I appreciate that. Never called back. You know what's funny? About two sentences into this story, I realized, maybe this is going to get a little long in the tooth. Oh, but guess what? You have stoked the flames. I might even go longer with the story. I don't know. Let's think about every detail that this guy had. Let's see. Kind of graying hair, but it was like blonde, but not in that natural blonde way, like nicotine stained blonde. Like his hair was like curtains in a motel. What else could I tell you about him? He had dentures on. How do I know he had dentures on? Because they kept slipping out of his mouth. Every third sentence, his teeth grew, and he had to readjust, and that was sickening to me. I almost vomited in front of him because you can't secure those. Like, and if you can't secure those, don't talk to me. Ugh. Now I'm not owing the story or him. I'm owing the callers. You know what? Let me regroup for a second. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was funny. I thought it was funny that this guy was telling me this really great story about how what happened is he basically threatened the guy behind the counter because the guy behind the counter threatened to call the cops. And the fact that he thought it necessary to tell me this story was both upsetting to me and great to me. Because, like, what does he expect me to do? Just be like, yeah, is he still there? Let's go get him. Yeah, let's wait for him to get off work. We'll just bash his brains in. Right on, Toothless Wonder. Thank you for sharing this story with me. So what happens is he freaks me out. And so another bus comes. I get on that one instead. And I say, oh, here's mine. Even though I told him earlier we were both going to take the same bus. I get on this bus just as some sort of escape. I go about three blocks up. I get off the bus. And I hide in case he sees me later. I get home about 30 minutes later than I should have because I was fleeing this one guy who told a horrific story and frightened me because of it. Oh, that was a fun story, right? What else can I think about that night? What else could I tell you? I got a cherry Coke and a one of those fancy chocolate bars. No Hershey's for me, thanks. What else can I tell you about this evening? So I went home and I started watching some stuff off my DVR. What did I watch? Let's see. I had recorded a movie off Turner Classics. I don't know the name of it, but it was a science fiction movie from about 67. I didn't recognize any of the actors, but I got about 10 minutes in and I started to get sleepy. So I went to sleep. What did I do this morning? My goodness. 472-5667, if you want to jump in and tell me how to do my show, that would be awesome. Let's play some music. Obits, One Cross a Piece, more Masco Wedding Show after this. All right, we're back, mercifully, with more Masco Wedding Show. I went and I yelled into a pillow, and I feel better. You don't, though. 472-5667. We just heard the Obits from their 7-inch from last year? Last year. That was One Cross a Piece. Great stuff from them. How about we try this? You want to play it this way? We'll play it this way. 472-5667. Somebody call in and be my guest, be my co-host for a segment. We'll do it that way. How about that? Maybe I need to bounce ideas off somebody. Maybe it is a little stifling just hearing my voice the entire time. So let's do a little back and forth. This is how you want it. We'll do it this way. Call in, Jimbo. Let's see what you got. Call in, one scumbag who couldn't keep the barnacle talk out of his mouth. Come back. Let's see what you got, buddy. I got topics. We could talk about stuff. One thing I did want to ask, you don't have to be a co-host if you don't want to. One thing I did want to ask is, I don't know if I'm being shallow or if this is a legitimate gripe or even a legitimate question, but does it matter to you what a band looks like? Like, if a musician or a band is terrifically ugly, does that turn you off from their music? I was wondering this because I was doing some research for an aborted topic today. I was looking up some stuff about Ram Jam, they of the song Black Betty. And I happened across their video for Black Betty. And, oh man, I was not expecting that. They all looked like, what did they look like? Like if Shaggy got his own spinoff show and the animators at Hanna-Barbera were like, okay, well, we need to build out this universe. We need brothers and friends and sidekicks all in that sort of same Shaggy vein, but not quite Shaggy. That's what Ram Jam sort of looked like. And I say this, of course, because what I was doing, I was researching whether or not Black Betty was the most pointless song ever, but then I did some more research on it and I realized it was an old blues song, and I really shouldn't talk about an old blues song because it's not as funny that way. But yeah, the images of these mustachioed, long-haired freak shows kind of stuck with me, and I was wondering if that made me shallow. 472-5667. Oh, nobody's calling. Oh, somebody's calling. That's all I had to do. I had to say the magic word. KOP, you're on the air.
I'm on the air. Wonderful. Hey, you know, I saw Ram Jam do Black Betty at the Municipal Auditorium. I think it was in, 1920.
Is that right?
I think it was. Yeah. They were ugly.
So did they just play that one song? Did they come out like, hey, everybody, we're Ram Jam, and then play Black Betty, and then say, okay, we have to go back to chopping beer barrels?
I think that's what they did. In fact, it was kind of like that, yeah, because they were, I think, the first band of three.
I don't care. Oh, my goodness. Normally I'm so fun-loving. And you've done it. You've done it to me. Boop, boop, boop. Now I'm looking over my list of stuff to talk about. I don't even want to talk about any of this. Although one thing did make me laugh today. I was watching football for the first time in forever. And it's hard to, like, advertise these days because of TiVo and DVR. Like, people just blow through the commercials. So products and services will try to find creative ways to sort of put their name out there. Like, and you'll see it in sports all the time, like the Doritos halftime show. And it'll even get to, like, the Taco Bell coin toss and stuff like that. Well, I was watching the Four Letter Sports Network, and their little crawl at the bottom where it has all the scores updated was sponsored by Jared, the Galleria of Jewelers. So numerous times today, I was watching football games, and I saw the Jared Galleria of Jewelers score alert. And that made me laugh, because that is the last thing I expected to see during a football game. KOP, you're on the air. All right. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, folks. There is a little basic rule. On the principle of barnacle talk. See, here's the thing. You have actually made me feel stronger now. Because I have been doing this show for about three years. And you know what? I keep it clean every week. I come in here, I'm humming. Me and Mac, we come in here, we do a pro show. Pro style. We don't need barnacle talk. We don't need to dive the depths. We do it every week. And you can't even make a 2-minute phone call without gumming up the works with your denture talk. Got your words getting in the way of your teeth. Sliding out like Scott Shannon. This weird denture voice. Oh, man. What was I talking about? Jared and the Gallery of Jewelers? Who cares? Yeah, it's funny to me that this engagement ring store... First of all, it's an engagement ring store. Let's all be clear about that. To call yourself the Gallery of Jewelers, and I've never once seen a commercial where it's like, happy anniversary, honey, or just, I just wanted to say I love you. Here's a pendant or a locket with a picture of our dog that died, got shot. No, it's always, he finally proposed. Finally, thank God, that slob. Thank God he locked me down now. It's an engagement ring store, and that's the most repulsive thing in the world to me. Come on in to this cavalcade of carrots and come get the thing that's going to mean the most to you in the world. For your beloved to wear for the rest of her life. Just come on into this megaplex of rings. Pick one out. I'll get on that big ladder that they have at Costco. I'll grab one from the top. You could try it on. That's funny, right? Yeah. What else? This is... Oh. So the Beatles. Breaking news, everybody. The Beatles are on iTunes. Thank God. You remember how long it's been since you heard a Beatles song? Remember how hard it was to locate those treasures? Those really hard to find albums? Well, good luck, everybody. Good luck. Good news. You can now get Beatles songs a la carte and get them in the worst quality that you could possibly get them, short of finding a cassette tape of Magical Mystery Tour in your glove box. Now you can get the Beatles on iTunes. Why was it necessary to make such an announcement? So what happened, for those of you who missed it, on Monday, pardon me, dry mouth. On Monday, you go to iTunes and there's like a little, you know, very vague blank ad banner announcement. It says something to the effect of like, tomorrow it's all going to change or something. Tomorrow's music, September 11th. KOP, you're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you were talking about bands and some of them are not so attractive.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
What's your name, caller?
I'm the same caller? What?
What is your name, caller?
Oh, Robert. Sorry.
Robert, are you going to pull my leg? Just tell me now.
I'm trying not to.
Okay.
No. I'm actually legitimately calling about...
Are you going to use Barnacle Talk?
I don't know what that means, but probably not.
Okay. Then let's proceed with your call. Go ahead.
Okay. So what are some bands that you like? Do you think that the members are just not really beautiful? I mean, because there's a few bands that I'm really into. You look at YouTube and you'll see a video of a band that's, mm-hmm. maybe a little overweight or not attractive, and the first comment is always, oh, she could lose some weight.
Sure, sure, yeah. Which, that's the best judge of anything, is to go on the YouTube comments and see what people say. Everybody's just awful on YouTube. Off the top of my head, that is an excellent question. I was just thinking of, even if you go to, 70s era Rolling Stones, or even, early 80s era, if that was somebody's gateway into the Rolling Stones, let's say, you're a kid around that time and you get Tattoo You, and you're like, oh, I want to go see these guys, and you go see Mick Jagger, and he's got that weird dancing leotard on, and then the ballet slippers and football pants. If that was my first impression of Mick Jagger, and not, the sort of, British Invasion kind of era, or even Exile era, that would really scare me out of my skin to be like, this is the rock god who I've worshipped this entire time. It's appearance does mean a lot.
Well, I don't know. I mean, but I think you were talking about Ram Jam before, and I think if they were attractive, I would be offended. I feel like there's some art, it's Black Betty. I mean, I don't want, Justin Bieber singing Black Betty. That
would
make me uncomfortable.
I'll meet you halfway, because there are some where their unattractiveness is almost a virtue. I can think of two off the top of my head. I can think of George Thorogood, and I can think of Bob Seger, where I don't want them to be, I don't want them to be models.
No, of course. I think that, I can understand what you're saying. It was very weird the first time I saw Rick Ocasek after listening to The Cars.
Right.
That was because that guy is not an attractive fellow.
Yes.
And you want your pop music, again, if it's bubbly and it's poppy, I do. I kind of agree. You want them to be attractive. If it's death metal or southern rock, then, they can maybe be unattractive.
Oh, sure, yeah. The guy from the Ozark Mountain Daredevils can afford to have some cigarette burns on his skin.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I just feel like, you don't believe it. If Johnny Cash looked like Warren Beatty, you wouldn't believe it.
Right.
You would just say, this guy's lying.
Yeah. But
all a lie.
You make an excellent point with Rick Ocasek, because, those are really poppy, sunny, fun songs, and then this Halloween decoration is...
I mean, I knew a guy who looked like him in high school.
Oh, my God.
We fed him fish and kept him in a cage.
Sure, you have to, or else he'll run amok.
But, I just think that they were lucky, though. They had another guy who was a blonde-haired, attractive guy.
Yes.
The one who sang Drive. I think that's why.
Right, whose name escapes me right now. But you mentioned that, and I immediately go to Cheap Trick, who had, the two, teen idols, and then they had Bunny Carlos scaring everybody behind the drums, and then the other guy whose name escapes me right now just staring people down with his weird bicycle hat.
Well, what's funny about Cheap Trick is the two attractive guys, if they could be walking down the street, I wouldn't know who they were. They could be. But if the two unattractive guys were walking down the street, it'd be like, hey, Cheap Trick,
Yeah, they're the ones you gravitate towards because they have a look to them.
Yeah, well, it's not like they could be in, Supertramp, and there's no way I would know.
Right, exactly.
Because the other two guys are kind of just 70s rock stars, basic, boring, not attractive, or attractive.
You could say it. They're attractive.
They're all attractive men.
Right.
I am attractive. No. I think it's an interesting conversation because I peruse YouTube for music videos because there is the cool TV. Have you seen the cool TV?
I have not.
You know what I'm talking about, though. It's like a little video channel.
I know of it, but I've never really spent any time with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much like you feel, it makes you kind of feel all in the way because you're like the new music that are on these major, because it's basically major label music videos, basically.
Right, of
course. Every era, they play Jimi Hendrix, they play like 80s stuff, they play 70s stuff, and they play songs from today, and you're like, is this what people are, is this really the music? Like, you wonder that it may be not CD burning that just destroyed the music industry.
Yes, exactly.
You think to yourself, it may be this horrible, horrible pitch-toned music, and then they'll play The Animals, and you'll be like, how do they even play these songs together, you know?
Right. They're sort of like palate cleansers. It's like, look, we had to fulfill a contractual obligation. We played you Matchbox 20. Now here is something from Canned Heat. Well, that was a horrible example.
No,
Canned Heat.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, you're doing great. Robert, can I say something real quick?
Sure.
You have saved my day.
I'm here to help.
Thank you so much. I am going to... Oh, well, never mind. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, because you have done the Lord's work today.
Okay. Well, you have a great rest of the show, Dave.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye. See, folks, that's how you do it. That's how you be a member of the Mascot Army. You come in and you support. You be constructive. You help out. You don't say negative things. You don't come in and spew epithets. You don't come in here and talk about your jacket and the neat things on it. That was a fun segment. Thank you very much to Robert. And I cut him off because there were other callers, but the other callers went away. So I'm going to play some music, and then we'll come back for the home stretch of the Mascot Wedding Show. Right after some... Boop. Kelly Stoltz has a new album. Hold on, we'll take this one call. KOP, you're on the air.
I would like to ruin your day again.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I'm semi-famous. I have a song, actually, that Spock wrote a song about me.
Really? Really? Tell me more.
Okay, well...
KOP, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm on the air.
Yes, yes, you are.
That's the way it works, right?
Yes.
What is this, Mascot Wedding?
Yes, sir. What's your name, caller?
Oh, it's Arturo.
Hey, Arturo, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Yes, co-op's own.
No real names.
You are. It's fine. No one, literally nobody's listening to the show anyway. So don't worry about it. Your secret is safe with us.
You mentioned Canned Heat earlier.
I did accidentally, but go ahead.
No, I mean, talk about like the ugliest band in the world. Right?
Yes, exactly. They were in my head for the opposite reason.
Exactly. And like, but beyond like just ugly,
mm-hmm.
and, or maybe unfortunate, but, also just like the guy, like the lead singer guy, you know, would sing in the falsetto.
Yes.
That's just an anachronism in and of itself.
Right.
And he would have those kind of like dumpy pants, you know,
yes.
like the really big, you know, like big guys dressed today, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting fat clothes, you know, but like this guy somehow had those pants that just kind of like hung on him, you know?
Yeah, like smuggler's pants.
Yeah, there was all kinds of stuff going on in there, probably.
Yes. Yeah, he was up to no good.
But, you know, then they would, like they were one of the early, you know, like music video, if you could call it that,
mm-hmm.
you know, bands, like going out to the country and let's work together and all that stuff. Like,
that's right.
There's like video footage of that, right?
And, yeah.
And so, yeah, you go on YouTube and a lot of old stuff, at least, you know, a lot of stuff is surfacing now and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a new Hendrix DVD every other year, you know?
Yes.
But then like, you know, a lot of old records, old songs, there's that YouTube where it's just the camera is stationary pointing at the record player and the record's spinning. And the
right, right, yes.
And, you know, part of that is like record nerds go and check me out. Look mm-hmm. what I owned.
Yeah.
Know? But then when it's a song that they print like 10 million copies of, well, who cares? You
mm-hmm.
know? So then they do those photo montages things.
Yeah.
Where they find like the beastliest pictures of these guys.
See, I'll tell you what, I much prefer, because I have, you know, I've seen a lot of those. I much prefer just the static shot of the record spinning than those horrible photo montages, because it's always like, hey, well, here's this weird picture of Donovan that I dug up. Let's look at that.
Right. Here's a picture of Donovan as a baby naked.
Yes, exactly. I'm supposed to know what that is.
and then it's, you know, every like Mac nerd, you know, mm-hmm. with iMovie or whatever. And it's the Ken Burns effect.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, fade in.
Yes.
Fade out.
Oh, I love it when they like pan the picture. Like you sort of go from one side of this.
Picture.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're looking at like this weird baseball lineup of like the Negro Leagues, and it's like, let's just cover them all. Oh, it's Edison Lighthouse. Never mind. We don't need to do that.
Well, it's like Ken Burns can make a six-part, 8-hour documentary out of like five photographs and
exactly.
And Wynton Marsalis, you know, yeah. Going boopy doop up. Anyway, so I just wanted to you know, chime in on the ugly rock thing.
Sure, sure, I appreciate it.
And I was a big Cheap Trick fan, you know, and I felt guilty or ashamed or embarrassed
mm-hmm.
that I would, you know, I kind of would look at the front of the album covers.
Right.
More than the back of the album. In the first, I don't know how many albums, they would put Robin Zander and Tom, what's his name?
I've been drawing a blank, I'll show. Yeah, yeah.
On the cover, on the front cover, and on the back cover, you know, and they would just be looking like really cool in the green room, you know, with the shirt open or sweaty, you know, and like
oh, yeah.
off stage and a silk scarf or something. And on the back, it would be like Bunny Carlos and Rick Nielsen on mopeds, you know.
Right, exactly. Yes, driving away from all the good-looking things going on in the front. Like, we're clearly not needed here.
Driving the attractive women towards, like, herding them towards the good-looking guys.
Yes, exactly. They're wranglers.
Yeah. But you got to imagine that Bun and Rick probably, you know, saw some action in Japan, you know.
I think they did okay.
Because
these members of one of the biggest bands in the world for their time, I think they got here and there just fine.
Even though no one knew who they were over there.
Yeah.
You know, because they were just screaming every time they would say, you know, oh, you read it, you know, ah. And
yeah.
anything you would say, they would scream. And,
they just really
but
appreciated
also,
these.
You know,
yeah.
The whole reverse racism thing, you know, aside, you know, they probably didn't look all like the Cheap Trick members of Cheap Trick probably didn't look alike to the Japanese,
right?
You know, so
exactly.
they could differentiate at least between those two, you know, two pairs.
Yes.
So,
Arturo, I'm gonna have to let you go. We're coming up on the top of the hour, but thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, no problem, man.
I really appreciate it. You have a good night.
You too.
All right. All right. I got to do a couple things real quick, and then we'll be back for the exciting conclusion of the Mascot Wedding Show. Stay tuned. Bam, pa ka pa bam, bam. I already took the bed music out. I'm sorry. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook. Thank you very much to the callers for calling in, Robert and Arturo. You gave me strength when I needed it most. Why were there only pair of footprints in the sand? Because you guys called in. And for the rest of you, go die in a fire. We're going to leave now with some Kelly Stoltz off his new album, To Dreamers. Or if you live in Austin, you could say, To Dreamers, and go get some novelties. This is Pinecone. Boop, boop, boop. That was a nice momentum killer. Clear Spot coming up next, followed by Stronger Than Dirt. We'll be back next week. Goodbye, Austin.